Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
I feel good.
The Godfather of Soul means the retired HBO Godfather is on the line for the City of Angels. A very good morning to you, sir.
Back at you, Pedro.
Larry Merchant, how's life treating you?
Well, I'm looking out some high windows I have. There's perfect blue skies and leaves barely moving, and that's life, and that's pretty good right now.
Okay. Terrence Crawford, still unbeaten last night, of course, taking out Kell Brook in the fourth round. When you get, take my word for it, when you get hit with a punch, you don't see the world comes to an end very quickly. And that's what happened to Kell Brook last night. But he was a 13-1 favorite. Minus 1300 was Crawford in there. So can we really put, he went out there and took care of business, but that's what you should have done with a 13-1 underdog, right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay,
Kell Brook is not ranked in the top 10 of welterweights.
Okay. So, I hate dogging guys, and this hurts me, but Ricky Burns, Yuri Gamboa, Raimundo Beltran, Thomas Dwarlamy, Thierry Jean, Henry Lundy, Victor Postal, John Molina, Felix Diaz, Julio Sandongo, Jeff Horn, Jose Benavidez, Amir Khan, some guy named Igadis, Cavallis, and then Kell Brook. I mean, yeah, Crawford's still unbeaten, but of all those championship fights he had, I don't see anybody there that's even knocking on the door to the Hall of Fame.
You are correct, sir. And, as the saying goes, it is what it is. Kell Brook is a British fighter, mm-hmm. and would generate some serious money. That caliber of fight over in Britain reportedly made a couple million bucks. And Crawford is Crawford and still hasn't been in that position where he can show how much of an attraction he is.
Can you think of anybody in the last 15 or 20 years that's been in that? I mean, Marvin Hagler was in that position as a middleweight because there was nobody to fight until he got the guys to move up, like Mugabe, Hearns, and Leonard and Duran. I mean, outside of those four opponents, all of his middleweight guys were like not, Hall of Famers.
Well, look, sometimes a guy, a champion, is just too good for everybody.
Okay.
And sometimes the way the calendar works out, he gets a gimme. Or he turns might even been a competitive fight into a gimme. Mm-hmm. Some guys are that good. Is Crawford in that class? Maybe, because we don't know. And he certainly looks like a superior fighter, boxer, puncher, who has his wits all about him in the ring and also has a fury in him when the opportunity presents itself. Whether he's going to get to fight Spence or Pacquiao and get the attention of people who aren't great boxing fans but would want to see a great boxing match remains to be seen, but time is moving on.
Doesn't Crawford and Pacquiao have an Ali Holmes air to it?
You know what? I don't know. It could be. You're correct about that.
Wait, hold on.
I don't blame Pacquiao for not wanting to fight Crawford, who is never proven to be a major attraction.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how big a fight with Spence would be, but it would be a pretty major event.
Yeah. The comparison I was making to Ali Holmes is that, Holmes was a young champion and small, strong, and Ali was the old champion, and I don't want to think of Manny Pacquiao getting lit up like that. But then again, Pacquiao is not like Ali because he's left-handed and he's fast and he moves. I mean, he's counter normal to other boxers as far as that style he's got. So that gives him an edge, even as he moves up in age.
when you're smart and fast and you can punch, and you don't fight that often, apparently you can maintain your presence in the game for a long time, and that's what Manny has done. But there are a couple of opponents that Crawford could take on besides the top guys in trying to force a fight. Keith Thurman, who was upset by Pacquiao in his last outing. Yes, Danny Garcia. Maybe even Mikey Garcia. Those would be, you know, attractive fights, if not big international style get-ups. But that's the route he has to take, and he only has a certain amount of time. He's in his early 30s already.
Yeah. Well, Mikey Garcia, he should go back. I think it would be really sharp if he can go back to 135 pounds. He said there was no money fights before at 135. Obviously, there is now at 135. Speaking of 135, the Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia fight, I think it was December 5th. That's off as Luke Campbell tested positive for the coronavirus. And Keith Thurman smokes more weed than me, Godfather. I mean, he smokes a lot of weed. Every time I see the guy, he's stoned.
Have you heard the latest news that it's legal?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that he is constantly, every time I see the dude on TV, he's buzzed. And, you know, I mean, I understand it's legal, this and that, but even I, as a proponent of cannabis, both medically and for recreational purposes, think that you can overdo it. And I think that Keith Thurman might have overdone it.
Well, I don't know much about that. So, You're way ahead of me.
Well, my generation, your generation, you know, we're different. I laugh about that one. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You remember when Manny Pacquiao, of course, upset Lidwaba for the 122-pound title, and then he came to San Francisco. We had a big party here in the city by the bay. Of course, that's when they inducted me into the Northern California Hall of Fame, all that kind of good stuff. But it was 2001. He fought Agapito Sanchez. And that night, that was a rough night for Manny Pacquiao, and that was like a make-or-break type of fight, and thank goodness that, and I don't want to say there was any bias involved, but thank goodness the referee was who it was, because he went the way it should have went. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, another referee might have made a mistake. I think last night was a mistake. That's what I'm bringing up to Jason Maloney fight, of course, with the young man, Joshua Franco. You know, what do you have instant replay for if you don't use it?
I agree, particularly when there's a question mark about the result of the fight. I don't know where to go from there.
I just, you know, I mean, and they went on for 30 minutes. Robert Byrd was the ringside official, the former, still a referee, I guess. Anyway, outstanding Hall of Fame referee, no doubt about that. And Russell Moore, who's been prone to more mistakes than a lot of people. He was a referee, and he said he missed the call. He didn't see the call. And at the end, they went for 30 minutes. They looked at the tape. In other words, Godfather, if they didn't see what they were looking for the first or the second time, what did they think the 38th or the 40th time was going to do?
Well, I don't know. What I do know is that the positions of the cameras are very important to those kinds of incidents. So maybe they were trying to get a better shot at what was going on.
You might take this the wrong way. I don't care. But you know what was missing from last night's fight card? The HBO atmosphere. And that's not because you're with HBO or with HBO. It's just, it's missing. Boxing is not, even without the crowd, it just wasn't. I didn't feel the specialness that I should have felt watching that fight, and I think a lot of it had to do with the broadcast team. I think you've got to deliver as a broadcast team, and I don't think those guys, in my mind, deliver.
Well, you're entitled to your own mind. But I think what made HBO at the time, and this is back in the, you know, early and all the way through the 80s, was that HBO was paying the kind kind of money that fighters would ultimately fight the best guy out there, and nobody else was paying that kind of money. And that helped build the show as a must-see if you were a sports fan.
Yeah, but even the boxing after dark, it had, you know, two young, hungry tigers. Sometimes guys you didn't really know, they were going at each other's throat. Two young, hungry guys looking to climb up the ladder. And, of course, the HBO championship boxing. Some of that was showcase boxing for the champions. But when you guys did a pay-per-view card, it stepped out. It stood out. In other words, it was a special, I don't want to say it was a seminal moment, but it was for that year in boxing. Do you hear where I'm coming from on that?
Look, I agree, and I think it was led by Sugar Ray Leonard, who was a star of the, I guess, 76 Olympics, and fought Duran early on twice, and was so good that he was willing to fight anybody, and did. And having Hearns and Hagler there at the same time, made a great merry-go-round because they all had, you know, their own records and identities, and they got a lot of exposure. So it helped to build that show into something really special.
Oh, freeze that thought. Freeze that thought.
How special until it was almost over.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Larry Murch returns after the break on Sports Byline.
All right.
Ow! Are we ready? You going to run the one more?
Yeah, 5:30.